from Luke 19:11-28, and the theme is practice makes perfect. As the people heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 pounds and said to them, trade with these till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by trading. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your pound hath made 10 pounds more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your pound, which I kept laid away in a napkin, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take up what you did not lay down, and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you out of your own mouth, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking up what I did not lay down, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money into a bank, and at my coming I could have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the pound from him and give it to him who has the 10 pounds. And they said to him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who do not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them before me. The word of the Lord. Although this parable echoes the historical story of Archelaus, to whom Judea had been left by Herod, but who had to go to Rome to persuade Augustus to confirm his inheritance, it illustrates the facts of the Christian life. As Jesus travelled towards Jerusalem, listening to his followers, he knows that they are expecting him to claim his kingdom very soon, and their idea of his kingdom was almost entirely worldly. How are we to interpret this parable? This earthly kingdom from which Jesus travelled is a great distance from God. As we sing in the hymn, the Father's glory, Christ our light, with love and mercy comes to span the vast abyss of sin between the God of holiness and man. Or was he denoting that in setting out into a far country, he is speaking of his ascension from earth to heaven, and of his second coming to receive his kingdom? Is he pointing out his second appearance, when he shall become as king and in great glory? Behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and the kingdom was given to him. From Daniel 7. And having ascended, he dispenses different grace to his followers, so that tokens of their services can be brought to him. In Scripture, the number 10 denotes perfection, and so the one who reaches it has reached divine obedience. All servants receive the same amount, one faith, one baptism. All are expected to work according to their own ability. God does not expect us to do more than we are able. He gives us the graces we need to do his will, not ours. This parable teaches us today that we are trusted. He trusted them to do what they thought would render the most favorable result, the way they considered the most profitable and pleasing to him. God trust us? He trusted his foster father, Joseph, to keep safe his mother and his infant self. He trusted Joseph when he was told that he was to marry an expectant nun. The servants were tested too. They were tested to see whether they could be trusted. He gave them little to work with, for if they could cope well with a little, then he could trust them with greater duties, immensely greater, just as he tests us in the ordinary, mundane things in life, just as he trusted Joseph to teach him how to make a living in carpentry. If we can keep the faith we have been taught, even when we are tempted to doubt by the words of others, then he will trust us to spread it. He tests us in the little things, and if we are proved trustworthy, then he trusts us to do more. The more we pass his tests, the more we work for him we are given to do. Even in this world, the more we train to do something, the more we improve, and the more we improve, the more victories we gain. The more we study, the richer our competence in that particular field of study. It is even said that the more we use our brains, the less likely we are to suffer from mental diseases when we are getting old. The more we practice saying the rosary, the more we appreciate it and love it. In other words, the more we are tested and pass the test, the more we are rewarded. The servants who use their pound wisely and are praised for having gained profit represent all those who believe in Jesus and spread the good news. The man who wrapped his pound in a napkin fails in the test and the trust. Napkins were used to cover the face of the dead, and so the pound wrapped up in this way conveyed that it was less than useless. This gives us a picture of what happens when we are slothful and indolent with our gifts given by God, gifts and talents unused and ignored. Then we blame him for their unprofitability. He did not take away from the servant anything more than he had had originally. He did not punish him, but left him in the same state in which he was before he received the pound. God does not punish us in this life. He leaves us with what we have. We punish ourselves by not taking advantage of God's gifts to us. The words of God or the preaching of the gospel put into our minds and hearts is not there just for storing, like honey in a pot wrapped in a napkin, but for spreading, sharing with others the taste of its sweetness, and so gaining more followers for Christ.